wouldn't it? Huh? Yeah? Taking this watch off for your protection. The end of August, Nancy and I packed up the few things that we had. We'd been married the previous June. Spent some time working in our hometown during the summer months. Lived in a cozy little apartment. Our first little love nest was kind of cool. But then we packed up a few things that we had in the U-Haul trailer. Smallest U-Haul trailer you could rent. Didn't even fill the darn thing. And off we went to New Haven, Connecticut. We're starting in the PhD track in New Testament Greek at Yale University. Now the fact is, for about the first 5 years after I was ordained, I would never have admitted to that. There was something about having been at Yale that just really bothered me. Now, it wasn't that I didn't get a good education. It was tremendous. I was challenged in more ways than I could possibly imagine. I had my mind twisted all kinds of ways. For what it's worth, I never did finish the PhD. While I was at Yale, I felt a call to become a pastor, and the rest is history. Just to put things in context, though, it was 2 weeks after Woodstock in 1969 that I started at Yale. And I say, you can take the boy out of the hippie. I mean, that's pretty obvious. I don't have my chalk stripe hip-hugging elephant bell-bottoms and tank top on today. And the hair is a little different than it was back in those days. But you can't really take the hippie out of the man. I mean, it's just so much a part of who I am as a human being that that ethic is just there. I want to tell you a story to go with the parable that Jesus told. So this isn't a holy story in the same sense as that one was, but nonetheless, I think in its impact on me, and I think on many of us, it is a holy story. They send a magazine, I suppose, to try to shake us down and get money out of us from Yale's Divinity School twice a year. It comes in the spring and the fall. It's called Spectrum. In reading Spectrum from last spring, there was a story that touched me, and when Mark asked me to be here with you for Consecration Sunday for this stewardship event, I thought, I need to share this story with you. There was a whole series of villages along a river in Africa. The villages were only on one side of the river. They were up high so that they didn't get flooded out. But interestingly, each village was a separate unit, and so much so that it was taboo to go from one village to another village. You simply didn't do it. And there was some tree fall between each village that was never cleared up. It was just allowed to be there. Now, the thick forest was on the other side of the river. The river moved fairly quickly until it came down to the end village where there was a mouth to the river and there was a fording area where you could cross the river, and that particular village always used that ford to go from their side of the river to the forest. They would cut down trees there, bring them back across to the village. Skilled craftspeople, woodworkers, made all kinds of different things with the wooden pieces. They were a fairly prosperous village as a result of the skill of the people. Beautiful wood, beautiful furniture, beautiful boxes, wonderful construction. Group of the folks within the village would gather up all the crafts and all of the things for sale and would go across the ford through the forest to the big town and would sell things and bring them back and distribute the money. Pretty affluent village. maybe a little bit like North Scottsdale and Carefree, where I come from. One day, though, down the river floated a dead body. And it came to rest on the fording area that the village used to get from one side of the river to the other. And no one really knew what to do with that dead body. Maybe they should just leave it there and rot, but no, that didn't seem quite right. So they pulled the body up on the shore, and then they didn't know what to do with the body on the shore. And they got together and started to talk, and they decided the only decent thing to do was to build a casket. After all, they had the skills. And put the body in the casket and bury the casket in the ground. And so they did. And they felt very good about what they had done. Till a week later, another dead body came down the river and washed up against the ford. Having set a pattern, they simply went out and took that dead body and built another casket, put the body in the casket, buried it next to the first. After another week, here came three dead bodies floating down the river. Now, it was getting a little bit expensive, and it was taking time away from their crafts to make these caskets and then bury them, but they had set a precedent, so why not continue with the way they had been? And so three more caskets were built, the bodies placed in the caskets and buried in the ground. And the following week, five bodies came downstream. And one of the elders said, "I need to go upstream and see what's going on." When he got upstream, even though he had to climb over those tree falls in order to get in that area where the next village was, he saw that the bridge that they had built had been washed away. And when he started talking to the people, they said, the bridge has been gone since last spring, and our people still have to get across the river, so they start to wade across the river, and some of us have been swept downstream, and we've never seen them again. And the elder made his way back to his own village and said, "We need to build a bridge instead of caskets." Now, not everybody in the village was capable of fine carpentry. Not everybody was able to chop down trees as some were. But everybody in the village gave something. Some nails for the construction. Some the strength of their back to chop down the trees. Others their skill in construction to build the bridge. Now, I suspect today I could talk about leaders that are smart enough to go upriver once in a while. That'd be another sermon. And I suppose today I could talk about people who look to build bridges instead of walls. And you probably already heard that sermon. And I could talk about the way the community pulled together as this community is pulled together. Nancy and I worship with you about twice a month, three times in 6 months, although I got to say, after 41 years, being retired means I can worship wherever I want, and I kind of like that. But I've watched this congregation pull together as a community, and I could preach a long time about that, watching the transition from David through John, who's a very close friend of mine, and finally to Mark. Artie continuing to anchor the place as well as she knew how. Leaders in this group trying to do what was necessary to make sure that Living Water Lutheran Church had the impact on the world that God was calling it to have. But that's another sermon as well. Today, I want to talk to each one of you as an individual and ask you, in the word of your stewardship campaign, what is God asking you today to give? And I'm going to be more specific as well. I'm not just talking about the sweat of your brow, as important as that is. I'm not just talking about the time that you give to make this the best congregation it can be, and therefore to be as effective as it can be in the world that God has given us. As important as that is, I'm not going to talk about that either. And I could talk about your experiences and your skill sets and all the things that need to be given to the world through the church in such a way that we take seriously the things that Jesus takes seriously. But again, that's a sermon for another day. Today, I want you to think about the money that God is calling you to give. It's something we don't like to talk about. I don't much like to talk about it. And besides, we see, that's a personal business. That's none of your business. What I do with my money, well, maybe, maybe not. But today, to participate in God's dream for the world, to ask yourself what God is calling you to give. To give that tithe that already talked about, that 10%. Or to go beyond a tithe. I told the leadership group that when Nancy and I were a couple of 16-year-old kids, Nancy's dad said, Bobby, would you like to go to church with us on Wednesday night to hear the speaker? Well, I'd go any place as long as I could hang out with Nancy. It didn't really matter to me if it was a stewardship campaign. I knew I could turn off to that and never listen at all. But at least I could sit next to Nancy and maybe catch a squeeze here and there. The guy so impressed me that I made a commitment to tithe as a 16-year-old kid. And so did Nancy. And we still have those crummy plastic boxes with the little card in the bottom where we promised that we would tithe for our whole lives. And some of you go beyond that tithe. And some of you are at the other end and just starting out. But today, I want you to think as prayerfully and carefully as you are able about what God is calling you to give as your financial gift, not to the church, but to God's own self. Sure, it's about budgets, and you better have leaders who are smart enough to go upstream and check things out, as well as going downstream as they put that budget together. They better know something about the cash flow of this congregation. They better know how to put together a spreadsheet. And even though the business of the church is not business, nonetheless, conduct the business of this church in as business-like a fashion as they are able. And yet, that's not what it's about today. It's not about your fair share of that budget. It's about your love of God as you prayerfully and carefully consider what it is that God is calling you to give. There is no question there's power in this congregation. As you gather together and make that commitment, there is power as a group. But for now, think about you. And think about all the good things God has done for you. And today is your opportunity to say thank you as you make that commitment to your God. At the very end of the service, a few more words. Amen.